The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Oh yeah, hour three of the Randy Corporan program, and it's Matt Dunn, the Backbone Radio guy, in here on this March 16th, 2024, trying to carry that torch for Brother Randy as he is on secret mission here today. And I kind of have a sense that his fingerprints are on some of this good stuff happening at the RNC. Going to make that RNC an efficient organization with great fundraising already with Laura Trump in there, and election integrity division as well. Kind of put the RNC in line with the Republican voting base and the American voting base. As I played in the last hour, the left is getting nervous about the changes over there. Real quick point, yeah, Fannie Willis stays on, the corrupt judge in Georgia let her stay on, but Fannie's lover, Nathan Wade, has to be dismissed, so he's gone. But Fannie Willis stays on, that sham puppet prosecution of Trump case down in Georgia. But again, this works out well for Trump, because if you have Fannie Willis still going on that, no credibility, ladies and gentlemen, zero. Like, I'm talking no credibility whatsoever. George Stephanopoulos has been taking a lot of heat this week because he was really all over Nancy Mace, kind of pushing her on, oh, you know, Trump was liable for rape and you're supporting Donald Trump. And she responded in kind to him and talked about, oh, you're shaming a rape victim, of which Nancy Mace is. But you think about it, that Stephanopoulos worked for Bill Clinton. Yeah. How did Bill Clinton treat women? I mean, there's numerous women that have come forward about how Bill Clinton treated women. And George Stephanopoulos himself set up a whole division to handle bimbo eruptions in the Clinton era. What a snake is this Stephanopoulos guy. What a nasty piece of work is Stephanopoulos to even go anywhere near that issue, in which he's the guy that used the term bimbos and bimbo eruptions for years. I remember I read his book, All Too Human, back in the day. My gosh. And by the way, Liz Cheney, my sense is that things are falling apart for Liz Cheney, and that if we could ever get a little further into that J6 propaganda commission, some integrity with that. It turns out, you know, she was hiding the stuff about Donald Trump wanting 10,000 National Guard troops there on J6, and she hid that. She withheld that information. Trump's on record. That just now comes out. Of course, we talked about this stuff at the time. We saw it at the time. And if you listen to Backbone Radio, you know all this stuff. And this whole Cassidy Hutchinson thing, who was, a disloyal staffer to the Trump team. She comes out and says, well, Trump was, he got in the Beast, which is the limo, and he tried to grab the steering wheel from the Secret Service agent to try to go back to the Capitol on J6. And the Secret Service agent who was driving the Beast at the time said, no, none of that ever happened. I mean, nothing. And of course, we said that at the time. So some of this stuff is coming out, and then you're having some Republicans make some noises about, well, maybe we're going to start prosecuting people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and the other RINO folks who are unelected out of office. Kinzinger is no longer there. Cheney lost by 40 points in Wyoming. Oh, man, was that a sweet night. How nice would it be if the shoe went on the other foot? And instead of these nasty people running all of their schemes and hoaxes and arresting people like Bannon and Peter Navarro and Roger Stone and trying to throw Trump in prison for the rest of their lives, I mean, what would happen if Liz Cheney, you know, documentably withheld this information and lied to the American people about just those two items alone, and that, you know, follow Julie Kelly on this? It'd be interesting to have the shoe on the other foot. And what if Cat Turd's always posting this on Twitter, like, hey, arrest Liz Cheney. Hey, arrest Adam Kinzinger. What would happen if the shoe was on the other foot. And maybe that's the sense that has this animal cornered, has the ruling class cornered right now as they see it all falling apart. And if truth could ever intervene into any of these scenarios, it would be a bad day for the hoaxers and the liars and the cheaters and the rest of it. But Trump isn't campaigning that way. He's not running a revenge tour. He says, no, success, turning this country around, making America great again. That is the best solution to all of this. But I think a lot of folks listening might be okay if some of these folks that have been so wicked, so diabolical, so nasty, and the pre-dawn FBI raids on folks, you know, if they got the same kind of treatment, I don't know, would there be a kind of a justice to that? I'm not advocating for that. All I want is success, right? Smiles and happy good feelings and just make this country great again, because it's definitely not great now. Now, phone line action here. We got some great callers here hanging out with us, and Aaron in Denver, glad you are on board. Welcome, sir.
Well, how you doing there, Matt Dunn? You doing all right?
Yes, sir. Just laying it out, as usual.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's always, it's just a pleasure listening to you laying it all out. Ken Buck, hallelujah, hallelujah. And hallelujah, he's heading on out the door. I mean, Ken Buck became what he hated. I mean, he's supposed to drain the swamp. I believe he wrote a book on draining the swamp.
Yeah, 2017, his book called Drain the Swamp. But then Ken joins the swamp, that's the sequel, Become the Swamp. And now he drains it by leaving it himself personally.
Yeah.
In a cloud of ignominy. Yes.
Yeah, it's really sad, you become what you hate. So it was time to go. It was time for the rhino to go, and good riddance to him. And of course, you talk about Trump. Trump blew up the utopian Death Star and exposed all these idiots that are currently, all these human cockroaches that are currently making this country look so bad and such a disgrace. But at least we know, because of Donald Trump, we know who they are. Now we got to work hard to get these idiots out of these offices, whether they're in front of the camera or behind the camera. Either way, we just gotta keep working hard to get them out and get them out of there, because they're such a disgrace to this country.
It is embarrassing. You're right. And it's do you ever wonder, Aaron? I mean, do you see these people do the constant stuff, and like, you know, it's the open borders and how they handle the economy and the foreign policy. It's just, something is the matter with these people. I mean, they're operating from some part of the brain that is just very much not normal. I mean, do you ever just sit around being amazed by that, Aaron?
No, I'm not amazed. It's been going on for generations and generations.
I guess so.
And generations. and people just stop by and just let the insanity go on and let it go on. Well, it's time. I'm tired of the insane running the asylum. Now it's time to get some sanity back in here. So it's time for we to start to run this asylum and get it back on track, get this country out of debt. If these people had the best interests of this country, we wouldn't be in trains and trains. In trains and trains and trains and trains, and I can go on. In debt, if they had the best interest of this country, we wouldn't be in debt. We wouldn't have the invasion going on at the southern border. If they had the best interest of this country, we wouldn't be having this invasion going on. It is just a disgrace. And all the illegal aliens, even though during the State of the Union address.
I see what you did there.
it was a slip. I'm sorry. By the so-called president, he doesn't have the best interests of this country, because there's no way in heck illegal aliens should be in this country. They need to go back to wherever they were born on planet Earth. Go back. I mean, if they had a visa, if it was a visa, some kind of green card, but it was seasonal, yeah. But then you got to go back to wherever you came back on planet Earth.
And maybe they shouldn't vote while they're here, or while they're not here. Maybe the voting shouldn't happen, Aaron. What do you think?
Honestly, you got to be an American citizen to vote in our life. Just like if I was going to vote for El Presidente in Mexico, I think I got to be a Mexican citizen to vote for the president of Mexico. So, I mean, it just, that's just common sense, which I, or if I was voting for Putin, and Lord knows Putin is just a dictator, because Putin's getting another 6-year term. I mean, that's just, the election in Russia is just a joke. It's just a doggy pony show. I mean, I don't even know why they have elections in Russia when you know who the winner's going to be, Putin, another 6 years. I mean, it is a travesty what's going on in Russia. But the thing is, though, I mean, honestly, if I wanted to vote for Putin, I would have to be a Russian citizen to vote for Putin. I can't be an American citizen, fly into Russia and vote for Putin. I mean, that's just stupid.
Right. We're the only country that wants to do this, that has a ruling class that is so craven that they think that's a good idea somehow. Yeah.
Man, it's a terrible dirt. I mean, it's insanity, like being on steroids insanity. I mean, it's just so stupid when you hear this crap. But anyway, Matt, I mean, I could go on and on and on. But anyway, have a good night. It's been a pleasure. Goodbye.
Aaron, thank you, my man. And boy, I love it when you take the time to check in and we get a sense of what you're looking at, because it's spot on every single time, Aaron.
They got to go, yeah. Matt. They got to go. Goodbye.
Yep.
Goodbye,
yep.
Deep Snake.
Yep.
Got to go.
They got to yes.
go. Get them all out. Get all these human cockroaches out of here. They got to go. Got to get this country back on the road. But they got to go, Matt. You know, we got to get them out. We got to clean house.
Yep. Keep spreading the word, Aaron. And like I said, I've been listening to you calling talk shows for a while now, and
yeah,
I just
been doing it for a long time, man.
Right, and I love it. I remember you know talking to Mike Rosen and some folks back
Mike,
in the day.
Mike's a cool cat.
And that's where I'd be like, man, I want to meet this Aaron guy someday. And sure enough, we've gotten to chat quite a bit. So keep it up, Aaron. I love knowing you're out there, sir. All the best.
Yeah, gotta get them. Get rid of them. Go Trump.
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
Right on. Go Trump. And by the way, on that Trump thing, you know, Chris Cuomo, formerly of CNN, you know who he thinks Trump's going to win.
You know, this guy's going to win, by the way. This guy's going to win. I've never seen people behind someone like this before. I've never been to rallies like that before. For anyone, Obama didn't even have rallies
like
that. Yeah,
Chris Cuomo leaves CNN and then Sanity starts getting back into his gray matter. And he sees Trump winning. He says, yeah, just like Trump says, the spirit is stronger in 2024 than it even was in 2020 and 2016. Oh, you can feel the spirit and spread the word. It's time to stand up and be heard, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, would this guy be a good vice president, Dr. Ben Carson? I love this guy.
The fact of the matter is, we the American people, we are not enemies. Wayne, we are not enemies. We have to remember that, because people are trying to divide us on the basis of race, age, income, gender, political affiliation, religion, you name it. And what has happened in other countries that became socialists or communists? What did they do first? Divided the people. And they also dumbed down the population. Isn't that going on in our country right now? They're dumbing down the population.
Oh, Dr. Ben Carson, I think he's got to be in the top one or two or three for consideration to be Donald Trump's vice president running mate heading into November. And I can't think of anybody better, frankly, when it comes down to it. Everybody loves Dr. Carson. He's just a gentle, kind, smart, very smart guy. That for some reason, Donald Trump and Dr. Carson, they really have a bond. And I think, I don't know, I'm thinking that might be the way to go. But let's see what Eric, the great American in Stapleton, has to say. Eric, glad you're on board, sir.
Hey, you great American. Dr. Dunn, real quick. I got a simple solution to Congress why they have a slim margin. Hypothetically, you were the speaker. I would come to you and I would say, here's my plan. Okay. Jose Antonio Ibarra from Venezuela that killed Lake and Riley.
Mm-hmm.
So here it goes. So because of his actions, that everyone here in the United States from Venezuela shall be deported. One strike, and your out bill. No exceptions. Everybody goes up because of what he did. You kill here, you leave here.
You know,
that deal would be the world acknowledgement. Period. You kill, and you're from Guatemala, you're from Mexico, Honduras, Haiti, wherever. You kill or create a felony of any sorts, you're being deported.
You're gone. Well, you shouldn't be here in the first place. And I saw some interesting data on this that, and I think, I want to say, and I don't have the number, but I think it was like 83,000 illegals from Venezuela have come into this country in the Biden era. And how many have been deported of that number? 300. And so maybe that number could change based on what you're saying, Eric, that the amount of folks that come in illegally should be turned around immediately before, you know, any more Lakin Rileys lose their lives, right?
Absolutely. I'm talking about, you represent Venezuela. Okay, you did that, Jose Antonio Punk Butt Ibarra. So now you got all of us leaving. And then that would give all of them to think about something, Dr. Dunn.
Kind of like the military discipline when somebody is not behaving well in the Marine troop, and they make the whole troop do push-ups because one person screwed up, right? Or one person was late.
Nice.
Right?
You're being too nice.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. But hypothetically, if I'm from Africa and my buddies say, Eric, if you think that you're going to, oh my God, if you get caught doing that crime, we all go back to Kenya. You better think twice. You know what I mean? Because they're all going to come after me. Because I got caught from the origin of which I was from, and I blew it for all of them. That would have people thinking, Dr. Dunn.
You know,
God dang it. We got to get some kind of pressure on these people, man. Because they are pathetic. Oh, my God.
I just had a text to studio come in that says, we all love Eric. A text to studio. How do you like that? And the producer back there says he loves Eric.
John? You know, we got the greatest Americans in the Saddle Pal audience in history. And I love, you ought to make t-shirts for your dentist and sell them. Hey, Saddle Pals, paddle up and come buy a t-shirt from Dr. Dunn's dental office.
Now you're reminding me, I need to mention that, the new dental practice. But I'll tell you what, Eric, here comes the break time. But one of these days, we need some burritos, sir. And
okay,
so,
I'll probably bring them tomorrow.
If I could get
Blake up, it ain't daylight saving time no more.
Okay.
I'm blaming
all
on
right.
him.
All the best. Love. Keep at it at the barbershop, sir. Keep us updated.
Okay.
And that
Bye
is
now.
The great American Eric. And we had Aaron, another great American man. I tell you, I love the chance to meet so many folks out here in the 710 KNUS brain trust, and we learn from it. We are entertained by it. And yes, we are helping to save this place, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I did start the new dental practice. I've been at it for 23 years now, and just made a little move to start up a new one, and just delighted to be doing so, and I'm having more fun. And the phone number there, 303-225-7575. If you're ever looking for a dental home for somebody who's been at it a long time and done an awful lot of stuff and organized dentistry and attended all tons of meetings and used to be on the board for the Journal of the American Dental Association, which is the biggie, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, once in a while I just think, because I've started up a new one, I should mention that after 20 years of hosting and never mentioning any of this stuff, I just thought maybe I should. And sometimes prompted by great Americans like Eric, I just do that. At any rate, it is Matt Dunn. I am in for Randy Corcoran this evening. And let's take a little break and come right back. There we go. That's the great bass version of Little Sister by Elvis Presley, the king.
Like your mama.
And I work hard to try to find the right versions of tunes to record, to bring in, to mix a little bit to get them just right. And there's a few different versions of that Little Sister tune out there, but somehow this one that I found has a really hopping bass. A really banging bass on that one. And once you've heard that one, you can't listen to the other ones. I'm telling you, man. At any rate, yeah, that George Snephalopagus business, I'll tell you, I'll get into that. But I had a text to studio. Good job, Matt. You've had a star-studded evening enjoying the cavalcade of great callers. And I'll tell you, yeah, you know, we've got the celebrity callers. We've got the celebrity texters to studio who just send in, I mean, brilliant stuff. We'll talk about the brain trust around here. You can sense that it's galvanizing. There's like a mood to save this place and just tired of the sickness on top. And like I started out this show, Elon Musk is out there saying this, quote, "There is either a red wave this November or America is doomed." And I'm serious. All hands on deck for the red wave. You can see the pieces coming together. Course, the cornered animal, the deep state, the ruling class, the sick people on top, they're going to pull every stunt they can think of between now and November, but we cannot let that slow us down or stop us or throw us off track. Lord only knows what these people are going to do, but we do know this, the spotlight is on them. And anything weird, anything strange, any stunt that comes up between now and November, we know exactly where to look. Does that make sense? They've outed themselves, all right? Now, on this Snuffleupagus thing, George Stephanopoulos, the complete propagandist, nasty human being over at, you know, he's got the ABC this Week show, whatever. And he's the little tiny guy who sits there, his feet dangle over the stool in the studio. But this text to studio, I better read in here. Dr. Dunn, George Snuffleupagus completely lied in the Nancy Mace interview saying Trump was found liable for rape. Lie. Also trying to shame her for being pro-Trump after everything he did as Bill Clinton's fixer. George called the woman his boss raped and other accusers bimbos multiple times, including in his book. And after Jeffrey Epstein was found guilty with a 14-year-old victim, George celebrated with Epstein. End quote. I mean, that is dialing it in exactly to the point on Snuffleupagus. And the whole sleight of hand with Trump is liable for rape, none of that stuff is actually true. And Byron York at the Washington Examiner has been very clear about this, is that no, there was no rape. It did not happen. None of that is true the way Snuffleupagus set that whole thing up. And the whole thing was a sham and a fraud. And, you know, that's what passes for deep state stunts. You know, they're trying to set that one up, of course. But look for Byron York on the details of that one, okay? They had nothing. They had to make it all up. They just, like all the stuff, they didn't have anything to blackmail him with, so they had to make up all the stuff and the hoaxes and the Russia stuff. And, you know, I think they're kind of the wells running dry at this point. And by the way, I was wondering if I would get a little window to talk about this little concept here called Friluftsliv. And it's a word spelled Friluftsliv, which is a Norwegian word, and it translates to the open-air life. Okay? And this is, you know, getting a little bit away from politics, but it's tied into it in the sense that I'm doing an increasing amount of segments over the years about how to stay sane in a world gone mad. How to how to be living your best life when you notice the world around you and even some of the people around you really seem to have, you know, gone kind of around the bend. And I feel like one of the things with our culture right now is that you've got people who sit in their cubicles all day and they have their screens and their devices around them at all times, and they're starting to get weird, and they have gotten weird. And we need to find ways to not let their weirdness get us down or take us down or destroy this republic. And so when it comes to a place like Colorado, so many of us, you know, have grown up this way, you know, playing outside and enjoying breathing high altitude, clean mountain air and the rest of it. And that is the Freiluftsaliv concept, which somehow is resonating very big with me right now. And it's one that you can look up and you can read about a little bit. But the word comes from Henrik Ibsen, a Norwegian playwright and poet who I did read a lot in high school. The Dollhouse, The Master Builder, a few of those plays. But he coined the term Freiluftsaliv in an 1859 poem called On the Heights. And here is the poem, just for the record. In the lonely meadow corner, my abundant catch I take. There's a hearth and a table and Freiluftsaliv for my thoughts. End quote. That's where it came from. And he was known for, you know, he'd write his plays and he'd write his poems, but he'd like to go, you know, off into the mountains and experience nature and breathe clean air and the rest of it. And that kind of became like a really big thing all throughout Scandinavia, and it still is. It's kind of still a big thing out there, and it still is in Colorado. It has been here. There's a bunch of this in America, but I like that term they use. And, you know, when it snows, like 15, 20, 25 inches here in the Denver metro area, you know, the first thing I want to do is get outside and breathe that air. I just love it when you get the snowfall. I mean, you know that feeling you get when you get the snowfall? You know, I like to go out there with the shovel and shovel the driveway. Like I said, it took me 2 hours to shovel the driveway. And, yeah, you know, you have to start switching arms because your arms get sore, you know, and it's really heavy and the rest of it. But I like that. You know, I'd rather do it solo rather than have like some device that makes it a little too easy, right? And that's this Linda Akeson McGurk writes a book called The Open Air Life. And I guess she comes from Sweden and she's lives somewhere in the Midwest in America now. But she summarizes the 10 points of Freiluftsaliv by, and I kind of brought these in by reading this book. 1, be one with nature. 2, don't mind the weather or the season. 3, use your body. 4, appreciate your nearby nature. 5, learn useful skills. 6, keep it simple. 7, do not compete. 8, disconnect to connect. 9, propel yourself. 10, nurture your sense of wonder. And there's something to this when you add all this up. And I can go through some of these points. I can say a lot about them. But obviously, being one with nature is a brutal force, okay? You know nature is brutal, and it doesn't really necessarily care about our existence. But there's something exhilarating in finding a way to adapt to it and manage it and handle a snowstorm or handle some natural catastrophe and the rest of it. So you don't want to get too sentimental with nature, and I don't think that's what this is about. The term Freiluftsaliv, there's a book titled that by that Fridtjof Nansen, N-A-N-S-E-N, who was a Norwegian Arctic explorer, and he was the first guy to ski all the way across Greenland. Sometime in the mid-late 1800s, he just skied across Greenland all the way. And he wrote a book about it called Freiluftsaliv. And I think, hey, now that sounds like an exciting adventure to go, you know, skiing across Greenland. And by the way, Greenland should be a state. Trump thought about buying Greenland a while back and the Danes wouldn't sell it. But we should still find a way. I want to get Trump back in the White House and get Greenland into the United States of America. Then we can go ski there. Yeah. At any rate, but propel yourself is something where, you know, maybe you do use a snow shovel. Or maybe you ride a bike, but you don't do an e-bike. You know, the e-bike thing, that's okay, you know. But what if you actually had to pedal yourself, right? Could you do that a little bit? I think that's a good idea, but something, you know, to insulate yourself from all of the pathology that goes on in our culture, if you can get out and you can breathe a little bit and get some of that air in your lungs a little bit, like we do here in Colorado. Remember that movie Braveheart with Mel Gibson as the star? And I know it's just a movie, but when he got back to his home village in Scotland, in what was then Scotland, and you could see there's that scene where he's like breathing in the air, and you could see he was taking in the air of his childhood and where his roots are. And there's something about that that would fall into this category that we're talking about here. And again, yeah, you know, it's fun to go out and, you know, you take the walks and you take the runs. You run in the snow. You walk in the snow. You look at the tree branches that have fallen down. Anybody seeing a bunch of tree branches laying on the ground right now across Denver Metro? I have seen plenty. But the one thing that had me thinking about this is, you know, all right, build a fire, chop some wood. You could use a chainsaw to chop some wood. But this has gotten into my head enough lately that my son and I were in the store recently and we saw some axes on the wall and we're like, you know, and my son was like, Dad, let's get an axe. You know, he's 11, my oldest son. And I was like, oh, no, we don't need that. Then it occurred to me, you know what? Let's get an axe. Let's get an axe. We've already got one, but you could always, you know, use another axe, don't you think, John? So, by gosh, we get an axe. We get an axe, we walk out of the store, and that's just in time for this big snowstorm. And so we got the firewood out there, you know, behind the house, and I go out there, and so there I am out there chopping wood, trying to enjoy the for love to live spirit. So we chop the wood, and I think that was my son's, one of his first times seeing how that's done, right? And not that I'm like the expert or anything. But you chop the wood, you bring it inside, you start the wood fire, a wood fire. Not a synthetic fire, but a wood fire. And there's something about that that goes back, I don't know, how far does it go back into human nature and the human spirit and how we've been bonding with fire for however long that has been. But if you can get real wood in your wood fire, and you chopped it yourself, right? And you've done some shoveling, and you've gotten out of the elements. And then you send the kids out to play. Hey, kids, you're not staying inside on your devices and your screens. You go outside. Go outside. Get out there. And they're like, oh, you know, we're watching this outside. And you get them out there, and then pretty soon, you know, the kids in our neighborhood, they built like these, like two or three snow forts. In the backyard, they're big, tall ones, like 6-7 feet tall of snow, like this periphery. And they were having more fun, kids out there playing outside. They've got their shovels, and they're using their minds, and they're bonding, and they're creative. And some of the studies say that kids don't get outside nearly as much as they used to, as their parents' generation did, much less their grandparents' generation. And there might be something in that to how to raise kids, right? Get them out there. Get them breathing the air. Get them used to the surroundings of whatever nature you've got around you. And maybe try to appreciate it. Anyway, this leads me into a little bit of an axe discussion. And I know this is totally left field kind of stuff in some ways, but don't you think there's something to it? This little concept of free left to live and an antidote to where we are as a culture, trying to lead our best lives in a world gone mad. Again, you spell the word FRILUFSTLIV. And let's talk a little bit more about axes and Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and axes when we come back. It's Matt Dunn. I'm sitting in for Randy Corporan, and we'll be back in a flash. Ah, there we go. A little Elvis Presley the King. Yeah, this is the Elvis Hour, the wonder of you. Love that chorus and that song. I don't know what it is. That's like such a different song in the Elvis canon, and I think it's just super cool, if you want my opinion. So we had the Elvis Hour. Last hour was the Dwight Yoakam Hour. The first hour was the Mike Ness Social D Hour. Tomorrow night, who knows what we're going to come up with when we're on Backbone Radio. I wanted to just talk about axes for a minute. We're talking about free left to live and breathing open air. The open air life. The high altitude life. Again, one of the great antidotes for where this culture is headed, for our cubicle, screen-bound, propaganda-laden lifestyles. How to not let the sick people on top get us sick as well? The axes are for chopping the firewood, and I have Buchanan Smith's Axe Handbook here, which is the kind of the classic book about Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt. But here's a spirit, an American spirit here that I love. And I'm just going to read just a bit of this. We tend to think of Abraham Lincoln as the president most associated with an axe. Although George Washington chopped down the cherry tree, yeah. By the way, the people that know a lot about burning different kinds of wood will tell you that the cherry tree is a pretty good one. Apple trees are apparently the best, by the way. Bad news for apples, right? Once that word gets out. Anyway, we tend to think of Abraham Lincoln as the president most associated with an axe. And it's true that until his early 20s, he used such a tool daily as a rail splitter and woodsman. He famously possessed a 10-pound broad axe. But Lincoln's use of the axe ended when he became a politician. But it's as if Theodore Roosevelt's began when he started running for office. And you got to love Teddy Roosevelt. Definitely our most interesting president. I got a whole shelf of Teddy Roosevelt stuff in the man cave. You just got to just love that guy. Quote, as vice president, Roosevelt once, this is back when Teddy was VP, under McKinley, remember that? Maybe you've read about that. As vice president, Roosevelt once wrote to his friend, William Howard Taft, during a long congressional adjournment, quote, I am rather ashamed to say I do nothing but ride and row with Mrs. Roosevelt and walk and play with the children, chop trees in the afternoon, and read books by a wood fire in the evening, end quote. And I was just thinking, man, he's working in all the free left to live principles here. You got playing with the kids, playing outdoors with the kids, chopping trees with an axe in the afternoon. And, you know, I mean, I'd rather not chop the trees, right? But I guess if you're chopping wood, you're chopping a tree, technically. And read books by a wood fire in the evening. Yeah, reading books by a wood fire. That's pretty good. It's almost as good as listening to Backbone Radio with host Dunn by a wood fire. You know, gather around the radio. Get all comfortable. Get the fire going, the wood fire going, and breathe some clean air. You ever notice that the air is clean around these shows, around these programs? It's cleaner air. It's propaganda-free air. You don't get much of that these days, right? So, yeah, there's Teddy Roosevelt, the axe and the wood fire and playing with the kids and rowing, self-propelling. He's rowing his own boat. And he's riding around on horses. I guess a horse is doing the propelling for you, but it's work to ride a horse. My wife will tell you that. She's a former Western Air. Gotta love the Western Airs. Oh, yeah. Anyway, apparently there was a bunch of magazine profiles of Teddy Roosevelt back in the day. And one profile in McClure's in 1906 had this quote, the president, Teddy Roosevelt, cleans up his own woods, liking nothing better than to see the chips fly and to hear the sharp ring of the axe. That's, wouldn't you like that as a president, you know? Yeah. And at any rate, the author, this Buchanan Smith guy who knows everything about axes, says, of course we could employ a power tool to do a quicker job of things, but we use an axe because it does the job quietly and efficiently, and because it connects us to the outdoors in a way a chainsaw or a wood splitter can't. The axe sharply rang true in Roosevelt's time in the same way it sharply rings true today. And so that's just a little Colorado high altitude kind of chatter here. You know, I'd say that skis is self-propelling, and I put up on Twitter a nice family photo of us skiing recently up at Breckenridge, and that's kind of fun to do that. You know, get the kids out there. Get the kids out playing. You know, and maybe if there's some way to get a wood fire instead of, I don't know. See, they don't want you doing that, right? They don't. But actually, if you look into wood and wood fires, it's actually in so many ways more efficient than you might think. And there's a bunch of studies on this that wood fuel is maybe in some ways, it's renewable. Yeah, renewable. It's better than you might think. At any rate, I rest my case on Freluftsaliv after we've had about 20 inches or so of snow here in Denver Metro, and I hope we're all in the spirit and enjoying that, and that's what it's all about, yeah? And, you know, some of us, it's harder to get out than others, but if you can get out and breathe just a little bit, maybe take a walk or just get your nose outside the door or the window, you know, that might be enough. That might be enough to do something positive for our souls in the sick society we are now living in. Let's say hey to Jack in Wyoming. Jack, welcome. And I don't know if you're into all this Freluftsaliv stuff and open air and stuff, but with a Wyoming and evergreen pedigree, you must be a little.
Yeah, that exists up at 7,600 feet for sure, especially this time of year. You know, you mentioned about the axes. I've had a double bit axe since I was 20 years old. And every time I look at it in my garage, I'm saying to myself, you're never going to use that again. Get rid of it. And I just can't bring myself to get rid of it. But I don't even think you can buy a double bit axe anymore. But I used to cut wood with it when I was younger.
A double bit, does that mean two-sided, like the blades on both sides?
Yes, absolutely. You don't have to sharpen it as often.
Okay, and I was just looking at pictures of those.
I've got one. I'll give it to you. I don't know what to do with it.
Well, don't throw it away, man. Okay.
I can't throw it away. I just can't do that.
I'm looking at one now. Yeah. There's a whole axe world out there that I didn't really know that much about, but I guess people are really into it.
Let me get political for a second.
Well, if you must. Yes, indeed.
Well, of course. That's the only reason we talk, isn't it? on the selection for Trump's VP, for me, it's clear as a bell, especially after last week. I mean, it's just clear who it has to be, okay?
Who is it?
It's got to be Volodymyr Zelensky, because he has gone into Russia. He's taken out a bunch of their petroleum facilities, and and he's having such an impact with it that the people in Russia are thinking about getting rid of Putin altogether. The man is totally effective. Now, if we can get Trump in office and have Zelensky as VP, within the first 30 days, we have to round up all the Democrats and have a big Z tattooed on their forehead. What do you think of that one?
I don't know. For Zelensky, wouldn't that almost be a demotion to only be vice president? Because sometimes you think, given how our Beltway loves and worships him, he's like already president of this country, you know? Well, everything is about Ukraine.
If the world gets rid of Putin, he's the one that's doing it. And then, of course, if we're funding him, I'm all for it. I mean, you just couldn't do better. And actually, France is getting active now.
France?
So are some of they all are. They're all getting into the pushback on the Russians now.
Yeah, France wants to send troops. I mean, if France is going to send troops like kind of Napoleon did back in, what was that, 1811?
Right.
How'd that work for Napoleon? I think the Russians just laugh at this point when the French say anything, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, historically, there's an argument for that. Obviously, we're all aware of history on that one.
Yeah.
What it is that there's a big uprising pushing back against Putin. I mean, and without Zelensky, it wouldn't be happening.
I'll tell you, but have you seen the one of the French rifle is for sale and on the classified ad? It's only fired. It's been dropped once, never fired. Anyway, thank you, Jack. See you tomorrow.
All right.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.